Welcome to the Yoga Focus podcast. I'm Laura Gellner, a yoga therapist, occupational therapist, and the owner of Focused Wellness Therapeutics. I provide one-on-one yoga therapy sessions, small group therapeutic yoga, and online education for yoga teachers that is rooted in science. For more information, check out my website, lauragyoga.com. Hey everyone, I'm Laura. Welcome back to Deep Dive into Yoga. This is our PDF text, our ebook, where we are talking about some of the different ways that we can deepen our understanding of yoga and allow yoga to be a bigger part of our life. So in this first segment, we're going to start with working on creating greater awareness. We are specifically looking at what is my current relationship with the practice of yoga. And I have a couple questions here that you can work through. And I definitely recommend that you grab a pen and paper to write these down and even spend some time thinking about them. When we put pen to paper, I feel like it's this almost magical process where when we start writing things down, it's almost like it's pulling from a different part of our brain where we will start to have realizations and start to connect things that maybe we thought were unrelated. We gain a better insight into why we do things, why we think certain things. So pen and paper, such a great way to work through gaining more information, gaining more insight. What is my relationship with yoga right now? So the first question in this self-study is asking yourself, why? Why do I practice yoga? And I want to emphasize the fact that there are no right and wrong answers to this, and your answer to this question is probably going to change and evolve over time. I know it has for me, for sure. But you want to really be honest with yourself. Why do I practice yoga? Is it because you love the cute yoga pants? Is it because you heard that it would help you relax? Is it because you just feel good after doing yoga? And if that's the case, try to dig a little deeper. How do I feel good? Is it physically? Do I feel like there's more space in my mind? Do I feel more connected to my body? Does it give me a sense of community going to this place and practicing with these other people? So really try to dig deeper into that question of why do I practice yoga? And the follow-up question is, what has drawn me here? What was it when you were first exposed to yoga, you first saw it and you were like, I want to try that. Try to look back and think, well, what drew me in? What was the first thing that attracted me to the practice? And then you're going to ask yourself, right now, what is the practice giving me? Because if you keep showing up and you keep putting your time and your energy toward this practice, you must be getting something out of it, or you wouldn't keep doing it. So try to gain a little bit more insight into what keeps you coming back to the practice of yoga. For me, that very first spark was, most of my life I was and probably still am, rather tightly wound type A personality. And when I did my first few yoga classes, it felt like I touched peace and relaxation for the very first time, maybe ever. And that was a novel experience to me. And I felt that spark of, I want more of this. I need to look deeper into why this practice actually made me feel at peace. So that for me was the first thing that kind of grabbed me and said, there's something here, you need to look at this. That might be something different for you. But we're looking at trying to understand the relationship as it is right now and allowing there to be space for that to change. So next week, next month, next year, those questions might have different answers. You can look at how yoga first came into your life and what the experience of those first few classes were, the discomfort for a lot of us. You were doing something that was very different, very unusual from a lot of other things that you've done. I practiced sports. I ran track. I did soccer. I lifted weights. I was very physical. And the poses in yoga and the physicality of yoga was still so totally different to me that at first I was really sort of not into it. But again, there was that spark that pulled me back in. And that's something that I pay very close attention to because it taught me something that I needed to know about myself because I found something that I needed in my life. So now the next really important question is, how do I foster a lifelong relationship with yoga? One of the things that I love about this practice is because it is so dynamic and because there is so much diversity within the field of yoga, there are things that you are going to find to be helpful and supportive throughout your lifespan, all the way until we are well into our old age, if we allow our practice to adapt to where we are in our life. So your practice in your 20s is going to look different than your practice in your 80s. I would expect it to, right? If you're trying to do the same practice you did in your 20s when you're in your 80s, I don't know how that's going to go. I'm going to guess that it's not going to be great. So allowing your practice to shift and evolve so that it can be something that is in your life in a supportive, healthy way for the duration. Okay, the next one is a self-inquiry question that I love to ask in multiple different formats, but especially within yoga. So the first question is, right now, in my yoga practice, what is feeding me? What is inspiring me? What is really energizing me? And then the flip side of that question is, in my practice right now, what is depleting me? Is there anything that is taking more energy or leaving me feeling less energized? And these are two things that you can look at in so many different aspects of your life. We'll practice it in the context of yoga, and then you can take it and say, in my professional life, in my job, what is feeding me and what is depleting me? In my other relationships, in my hobbies, you can really look at it from a bunch of different perspectives, and it will give you some insight into the questions or the choices that you want to make. By asking these questions, you're going to start to think, okay, how am I going to steer myself? Well, if that's depleting me, then I don't necessarily want to lean into that, but this is feeding me, so I do want to lean into this. It can be very helpful when you're going through life changes and you want to figure out your direction. Okay, the next one brings up the idea of sustainability. So I've talked about how we want yoga to be a lifelong relationship, and therefore we have to let there be this evolution that happens. So you're asking yourself, how can I let my practice be sustainable instead of something that is causing harm to my body or something that I'm just like white knuckling my way through, forcing myself to do? It feels like another checklist that I have to cross off my to-do list every day. It's not going to stick around if that's the space that it's occupying right now. So you want to find a way that your practice is feeding you. And when it is feeding you, it is going to be something that you are going to sustain for the long term. All right. And then we're going to look at the relationship with ourselves on the mat, your self-talk. How do I talk to myself when I'm on the mat? And this is something that only you are aware of. This is something that only you can decide if it is feeding you or depleting you. So are you harsh with yourself? Are you judgmental? Is your mat a place where perfectionism rears its ugly head? As a recovering perfectionist, I am very aware of how the time on your mat can be just another way that you deplete yourself and beat yourself up. So we want to reflect on that. And once we become aware of it, we can start to steer in another direction. We can start to use our time on our yoga mat to create a healthier, more empathetic relationship with yourself. And this is a topic that I feel so strongly about that I think I'm going to make another PDF document talking about how yoga helps us to explore our relationship with ourselves and how it can feed a healthier relationship with ourselves. It's really one of the cornerstone aspects of why yoga is so helpful to so many people and why we need it so much in the world right now. All right, and that brings me to the last question that I have on here, which is, how is my yoga practice helping me to build a healthier relationship with myself? So early on in my yoga practice, I had a very unhealthy relationship with food and very unhealthy view of my body. And a lot of what I learned through my yoga practice helped me to go in a direction of treating myself better, talking to myself better, making better decisions, and creating a healthier relationship with food as a source of energy and a source of health in my life. So that might look different for you, but just start to become aware of the aspects of yoga that you can start to utilize so that you are taking better care of yourself and you're building a better, healthier relationship with yourself, because that is the underpinning of everything else in your life. All right, so next we're going to talk a little bit about what yoga is and a very brief look at the history of yoga so we understand the context, where this information comes from, and a little bit about how yoga has changed over the years. There has been a lot of different influences that have impacted the way that it is taught and how yoga looks, especially in the Western world today. So make sure you go over to my website, lauragyoga.com, download the PDF for deep dive into yoga, and we can work through these segments together. I'll see you in the next one. Thank you for being here on the Yoga Focus podcast. I'm Laura Gellner. If you would like to stay connected to more yoga resources, you can follow me on Instagram at lauragyoga. I have many YouTube videos at Laura Gellner, The Yoga Focus Method, and you can find links to my book, Yoga Therapy at the Wall, and all of my online courses at my website, lauragyoga.com. Thanks so much for being here.